Hello, everybody. This is Rabbi Yaakov Fish on my podcast, weekly broadcast of Let There Be Light. So, after a long and bruising election campaign, the 2020 presidential election has been concluded, or at least another phase of it, the actual voting, and now we still don't have a result, and the votes are still being counted. And whenever we'll get the result, we will get the result. And I just wanted to offer a couple of insights on the election that I've been thinking about for a while, reflecting upon for a while. Obviously, you know, I'm not a political commentator. I am not a political analyst. And I do not intend to speak about the candidates, Donald Trump or Joe Biden per se, or the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, or the platforms in which they ran in. However, there are a couple of, I guess you could say, anecdotal issues that have been on my mind for a while regarding the election. I want to share them with you. So obviously, as everybody knows, we live in a divided country and a polarized country, and people feel very differently about the candidates. People feel differently about the different parties, different directions, and so on and so forth. So this divide not only plays itself out between states, between red states and blue states, but this divide also affects all of us. We all have people in our lives which do not agree with us on a political level. I shouldn't be too presumptuous, but I would suspect most of us have either family members or coworkers or neighbors or shul members that you go to shul with, communal and congregational life, that we do not share their political views. So how are we able to maintain not only a civil and polite relationship from a distance, but actually have a meaningful and warm relationship despite the fact that we may feel so differently on a political level? So there's this interesting article a couple weeks ago by Elizabeth Bernstein in the Wall Street Journal, which caught my attention here. I just want to share that the article quoted this psychologist by the name of Gene Safer, who has a private psychotherapy practice in Manhattan for more than 45 years. And for four decades, Jean has been in a mixed political marriage. She is a Democrat and her husband is a Republican, but not just a Republican. He's a senior editor of the conservative magazine National Review. Their marriage inspired her latest book, I Love You, But I Hate Your Politics: How to Protect Your Intimate Relationships in a Poisonous Partisan World. So she was interviewed on this subject, and she was asked the following question by Elizabeth Bernstein. There's a lot of Q&A here, but I'll just quote one of them, and that is, why does it bother us so much when someone we love disagrees with us politically? And this is the response of Jean Safer, the psychologist. She says, because the disagreement isn't really about politics, it's about psychology. It's about how we see the world differently. Once a person understands this, it changes the whole dynamic. She says, we have a fantasy that people who are in our life or even we're intimate with are going to be like us in every fundamental way. We wonder, how can somebody important to me not see what I see? And yet there are always going to be significant points of contention in an intimate relationship. So this intimate relationship doesn't necessarily mean, I think, between a husband and wife, although it definitely applies to that. But it can be anybody you're close with, anybody in your circles, a parent, a child, a sibling, a coworker, a neighbor, a community member, somebody that you daven with, and so on and so forth. It really frustrates us when we see people that, you know, we care about. We think of them as intelligent people, but in other situations, but when it comes to politics, how can they be so wrong? How can they vote for a candidate? You know, don't they see that he's so dangerous in this regard, and so on and so forth? So I think we have to come to the recognition that, you know, we only ultimately control ourselves. You know, we control the way we vote, and we control, you know, how we're going to pull the lever in the ballot box, although that's at least not the way it works in Florida. You just fill in the little oval, you know, little oval thing on the ballot box, on the ballot. But my point is that it's okay. It's okay if somebody you love comes to a different conclusion. It's okay. Reasonable people can look at the same information and come to a separate conclusion. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad people. It doesn't necessarily mean that they care about Israel less than you do. It doesn't mean that they care about less about the United States than you do. It doesn't mean that they're less patriotic than you are. You know, they looked at the information and they came to a different conclusion. And I think we all need to work on respecting that, you know. So if you're a Trump voter and you're a Republican, so you know, it's okay that somebody else across the street from you was a Biden voter and a Democrat. There's no reason why we have to write them off and say, oh, what do they know? And that was, I think, such a with all the divide going on in so many other areas. It's something to be mindful of, especially in our political climate, that not to ever let these polarizing and political issues tear us apart or tear the fabric of our families apart, tear the fabric of our communities apart. So that's my first, I guess, outstanding thought on the election. Not really about the candidates per se, but just about, you know, managing the divide when it comes to different and diverse political opinions. So there's another important point I want to make, and especially now that the election is over, is now what? Now what? And let's say you spent a lot of time on the election, a lot of time watching TV, a lot of time on social media, a lot of time watching these YouTube videos, a lot of time on Twitter, a lot of time on Facebook, sharing posts, and da da da. The question is now what? Regardless who, if the individual that you voted for is in the White House or is not in the White House, I want to focus on, you know, what we can do about the situations or the challenges that we see in life with the limited energy that we have in our day. So I just wanted to share a thought from Stephen Covey, who in this first habit of the seven habits of highly effective people, he speaks about the circle of concern versus the circle of influence. So people have a lot of concerns in the world. You know, people say I'm concerned about COVID. I'm concerned about there's a pandemic, and I'm concerned about the global economy. I'm concerned about the American economy. I'm concerned about unemployment, and I'm concerned about the future of the Jewish community. I'm concerned about Israel. I'm concerned about, you know, the Middle East, and so on and so forth. And a person can be so consumed with all these concerns, they spend an extraordinary amount of time on social media, extraordinary amount of time, you know, sharing or being shared, having articles shared with them. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, our limited energy being put to good use? So the response would be, what do you mean? Am I not supposed to care? I'm not supposed to be concerned? Look what's going on in this country. I don't want, you know, I don't want our country to become, you know, a third world country. So we have to think about the circle of concern versus the circle of influence. He says the circle of concern are all the concerns in the world, and all of them may be valid, like I just pointed out. But then we have to realize what actually we have influence over, you know, how we actually have influence in our own lives. So there's certain times that we spend so much time on things that are concerning to us, but we don't necessarily have that much influence in our daily lives. But on the other hand, the things that we do have an influence of over our families and how to shower love upon them and on our spouses, our parents, our children. Are we doing enough of that? Are we spending enough time on personal growth? That's what we have an influence over. Are we spending enough time on taking care of ourselves and our family? Are we spending enough time volunteering for good causes? Are we spending enough time for on things that we can actually practically make a difference. So let me just quote two examples, which I think you can see about in terms of the circle of concern versus the circle of influence. So let's say take the topic, for example, of climate change. People say, oh, climate change, the world is warming, and by 2030, there's going to be this prediction happening, and the world is, there's so many greenhouse emissions and da da da, and people get all worked up about this issue on a macro global level. And then there's this other guy, he's just recycling. He's not like he doesn't share any articles about social media on social media. He doesn't get worked up, again, all emotional about it. What he's doing about climate change? He is recycling his own plastic bottles, his own newspapers, his own, and that's what he's doing. And not that it's mutually exclusive, not that a person can only be concerned about it but not recycle or vice versa. But the point is, I mean, what can a person do on a daily in their daily lives on a mundane level to address a global challenge? We have to recognize that there's certain things we can do. Take another example that's close to our hearts, and that is Israel. People say, the United States needs to support Israel. If you follow this candidate, they're going to support Israel more, that candidate less, and that, and so on and so forth. And we have to ask ourselves, what can we do in our lives? So the answer is, first of all, vote. Vote. Actually, we should hope everyone voted. I hope you exercised your voice at the ballot box and voted in accordance with what you thought was best. But now the election is over, so what can we do? So we can still be involved with Israel. We can reach out to our senators, to our congressmen. We can let them know to support things which are supportive of Israel, and they should stay away from things which are hostile to Israel, and so on and so forth. But that's really what our influence is. But once again, to spend so much time on social media, sending articles and sharing and forwarding and links and tweets and Facebook posts and all that, I mean, we have to ask ourselves, what's that coming at the expense of? There's so much time that we spend on the circle of concern, but the circle of influence in terms of our personal growth, our spiritual growth, our connection to Torah study, our connection to davening with a minyan, our connection to doing chesed, to volunteering—all these things are in the circle of influence. Our connection to our families, to our parents, to our spouses, to our children—these are the circle of influence. What we can do to make the world a better place. Okay, so the election is over, and as of I speak right now, the winner has not yet been declared. There's still, several states that have not yet declared the winner. But whenever that happens, we have to ask ourselves, I did my best in terms of the participation. If my preferred candidate won, great. If not to sugarcoat it and say it's meaningless. But we have to ask ourselves, are we spending our time appropriately and our energies in the right way? So by all means, let's do what we can, but let's never let the circle of concern override the circle of influence. So that's those are my two thoughts for this week, as we grapple with a very polarizing and divisive election, and it's torn apart many different people, different families, different community members. Let's remember that always the mutual respect that we have to show somebody else, especially if we disagree with them politically. And also, let us remember to invest more time and more energy and more of our resources on the things that we actually have influence on versus the things which are our macro global level, which Covey calls the circle of concern. Okay, folks, that's it for today. I wish you all a meaningful and uplifting week. And until next time, just remember, let there be light.